forward to hearing everything you have to share this morning, from you to us, connecting us together. And how about if we have a moment of Karen Drucker bopping us into Wappingers Falls?
Sounds good.
Okay. I'll see you on the other side, Robert. Thank you.
Okay, it's time to get your 50s groove on. Do a little dancing with me. Now I want you to sing this. It goes like this. I relax, let go, release and surrender. I relax, let go, release and surrender. I relax, let go, release and surrender. All is well. All is well. That's the whole thing. Here we go. Sing with me now. I relax, let go, release and surrender. I relax, let go, release and surrender. I relax, let go, release and surrender. All is well.
All is well.
All is well. And every day I affirm and pray that I'm blessed with everything I have. I release my fears, 'cause it's all so clear. I am held, I am loved, I am saved. Here we go. I relax, let go, release and surrender. I relax, let go, release and surrender. I relax, let go, release and surrender. All is well.
I am well.
I am well.
Ooh.
And now I see what my life can be when I trust in the process and have faith. And now I know when I just let go that I have all I'll ever need.
Relax,
relax.
Let go.
Release and are you feeling better? I relax.
Let go.
Release and
surrender.
Do the movements now. I relax.
Let go.
Release and surrender. All is well.
I am well.
I am well. Do it again. I relax. Let go. Release. We're gonna do this over and over until you get it. I relax.
Let go.
Release and surrender. I relax.
Let go.
Release and surrender. All is well. I am well. Sing it again. I relax.
Let go.
Release and surrender. I relax.
Let go.
Release and surrender. I relax.
Let go.
Release and surrender. I am well.
All is well.
All is well.
I am well.
All is well.
All is well.
I am well. Do you feel better? Take a deep breath.
Thank you, Karen. Wow. It is really an honor to be on the same program as Karen Drucker. She's kind of like the Madonna of the spiritual world. So thank you, Karen Drucker. That's magnificent. So I haven't seen some of you in a while, probably mid-December or so in person. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And fun fact, Lent starts a month from today, February 22nd. Now we hear a lot about renunciation at Lent, which is a kind of letting go. And at the start of each year, we also hear about it as part of releasing that which no longer serves us, making room for the new. So today I want to look at letting go in a fuller way. It's something that I need to hear about sometimes, and sometimes we preach what we need to hear. First, however, I would like to start with a poem by the Sufi mystic Hafez. You have been invited to meet the friend. No one can resist a divine invitation. That narrows down all of our choices to just two. We can come to God dressed for dancing, or be carried on a stretcher to God's ward. I love that. It reminds me of something I heard once. Everyone goes to heaven. Some of us will go there willingly, and the rest will be dragged there kicking and screaming. And some days I'm doing one and some days the other. Now that poem, as I said, is by Hafez, a Sufi poet from the 14th century. The Sufis spin in circles and recite words from God. They get out of themselves and into a mystic trance, connecting to something beyond the small self. They're out of their minds, so to speak, and yet probably more sane than most of us. Throughout the inspired poetry of Rumi and Hafez especially, we can feel the letting go, the freedom, and I would say the radical God experience that they had. They're pointing to this experience in surprising ways that expand our minds and open our hearts. So I've really come to love them. Now my talk title today is Let Go and Let the Good Grow, which is sort of a riff on Let Go and Let God, but gives it a friendlier ring in a way, especially if you still hold any notion in your unconscious of God as stern and serious. Because remember, in unity, our first principle says there is only one ultimate power, one ultimate presence, God the good. In other words, at the most ultimate level is God, which we declare to be the ultimate good, not small g good of our human realm, but goodness itself with a capital G, the good that has no opposite. And we're talking about letting go into that, letting our awareness of the good grow. God doesn't change, but our awareness of God and of the good does change. So we can experience the good more than we do. Now, hopefully, we have a living, felt experience of a loving God. When we have that, it makes letting go easier because we trust that something good underlies it all, that we are safe. If we don't have that sense of a loving God, then letting go is either too scary, or perhaps we just let go into a kind of nihilistic life as if nothing really matters, no laws or standards. Just look out for number one, which is not what I'm talking about today. That kind of empty letting go, what you might call let go and let ego. Now, the phrase let go is interesting. Sometimes it also can be kind of stern, like let go, a command, right? But I like to think of it, spiritually at least, in terms of allowing movement. In other words, let going happen. One of the ways that we can look at human life is through the lens of resistance and allowing. We look at ways that we resist, ways our energy is blocked, and therefore things are not in the flow, as we say. We don't allow them to move, allow them to go. Rather than letting something happen, letting go, we resist. Now, here are just a few examples of resistance from our daily lives. We can argue, complain, force or control, insist. We can pout, punish, or angrily withdraw. We can attempt to get even, which keeps an imbalance going, holding on to those resentments. Compare that to what Jesus said about not resisting evil people or turning the other cheek. He taught radical non-resistance. We can resist by overthinking, keeping things bunched up in our heads. Addictions can be avoidance and resistance. Denial. dismissing or laughing things off. And here's a big one, focusing on other people's problems. And letting go of that means we honor others even as they hold on in various ways. In fact, letting them hold on is part of our letting go. So when we hear these things in church, they're for us. We don't go to our spouse and say, you need to learn to let go. Because actually, it's a good practice for us to let go of needing them to let go. Now, another major category of resistance concerns our emotions. When we refuse to let that energy be in motion, it's stuck in us. And that can do real harm spiritually, mentally, and physically. In fact, it's one of the reasons many people believe that statistically, men live shorter lives. But we can change that. One of my favorite questions ever is from Reverend David Ault. He asked us at one of our Unity workshops, why doesn't happiness last? And so we came up with all kinds of possible, very impressive replies. Before he told us the answer, happiness doesn't last because we don't resist it. So is the point that we should resist happiness so that we make it last? No. The point is to be in that place of non-resistance with all of our feelings, to let them flow, emotion, energy in motion, so that they move away like clouds. Now, what do we do about all this resistance? Because this is the school of practical Christianity. So what's the practice? How do we let go? And it's an ancient question. Lucky for us, there are some ancient and modern answers. Now, today, as you heard, is Lunar New Year. So let us begin with the Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu, who presented his teachings in the Tao Te Ching around 500 BC. And I'll be using the translation by Stephen Mitchell. Tao is often translated as the way, but don't get too caught up in words. The very first thing the Tao Te Ching tells us is the Tao that can be spoken is not the true Tao. So let go a little of your mental concepts, allow the words to inspire you, and understand they're only pointing toward something. The Tao is very much about being in the flow with nature, or with God, as we might say. It's a life of non-resistance and ease. So after talking about the way that opposites create each other, if we believe in cold, then there's hot, near, there's far, good, there's bad. The Tao Te Ching says in chapter 2, therefore the master acts without doing anything and teaches without saying anything. Things arise and she lets them come. Things disappear and she lets them go. In chapter 10, speaking of the mind, can you deal with the most vital matters by letting events take their course? Can you step back from your own mind and thus understand all things? That's deep. And now here's one of my favorites, chapter 48, in pursuit of knowledge, every day something is added. In the practice of the Tao, every day something is dropped. Less and less do you need to force things until finally you arrive at non-action. When nothing is done, nothing is left undone. True mastery can be gained by letting things go their own way. It cannot be gained by interfering. Okay. Well, in my life, I have practiced something that I've come to call high quality doing nothing. So for example, when I'm in an argument where both sides know that we're right and we're not making any progress, can I allow the other person to leave my space and not chase after them, not try to explain or fix or do anything at all? Can I be with my feelings, with my certainty of rightness, and just breathe and do nothing? And I'm not talking about the silent treatment or passive aggressive energy or loud sighing. Just be and breathe and hold on to the possibility that I might not be 100% correct about everything. And then just notice what's going on with me and be with it. Trust that all is well. Have faith. Sometimes it can feel like wild horses are pulling you forward to say that one thing you need to say, the thing that will finally get through to the other person. I try to notice even that, be with that energy, and do nothing. Easier said than done, sometimes. I can use that same practice for my private internal life. Rather than all the internal battles and stress, I can observe and not act, not react. Michael Singer calls this the witness consciousness. In his book, Living Untethered, published just last year, he says, quote, "When you reach the state where you can observe what is going on in the mind and heart, you'll notice that you're not always comfortable with what's happening inside. What's more, there is the tendency to want to willfully do something about it. That's very natural. If you want to willfully do something, here's what you do. Relax." This is certainly not the intuitive thing to do. You want to protect yourself from the inner disturbance by getting rid of it. That struggle just makes it worse. You are capable of simply relaxing and not engaging with the disturbed energies. At first, it seems impossible because you're trying to get the disturbance itself to relax. Don't do that. You relax. You, who notices the disturbance, are not the disturbance. You are witnessing the disturbance, and you are welcome to relax in the face of it. That's great. We did this book in The Quest, Ed. So helpful. He suggests that we allow the pain that we might feel in doing this, the discomfort, and that we, in fact, lean into it. Start with easy things like being stuck in traffic or waiting for an operator to return to the line, and then we work up from there. And we need to work with our stuck energies in these small areas before we can move up to the big stuff that we resist and fight. Now, for perspective, Singer later reminds us that, quote, "Letting go does not absolve you of your responsibilities in life. You're not letting go of life. You're letting go of your personal reactions to life. Your personal reactions do not help you deal with situations in a constructive manner. They actually cloud your ability to make good decisions." So it's an inner letting go. That's where we start, and it requires stillness. "Be still and know that I am God," Psalms 46:10. Many verses in the Bible advise us to stop resisting, to let go to something bigger. Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all else will be added." Jesus says over and over, "Let go of your worry. Resist not an evil person," Matthew 5:39. And Proverbs 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Or as Rumi put it, "Put your thoughts to sleep. Do not let them cast a shadow over the moon of your heart. Let go of thinking." Which is an interesting thing to hear in a new thought environment like this. But what do we actually believe here? We believe that we are aligning our thoughts with the great thoughts, the great energy of infinite intelligence. By letting go of our cherished ego thoughts, we allow a bigger expression to emerge in and as us. Okay, so in everything I'm talking about, what we're doing here is opening up our consciousness, looking at where we're frozen and blocking that natural flow of life. Where am I holding on? Where am I ice rather than water or even steam? Why steam? Well, because it's not heavy. It's light. We can lighten up in general, releasing some of this seriousness that we carry around. I need to remind myself of this often. Listen to this fresh take on Matthew 18, verses 1 to 3. This is from the Passion Translation. At that time, the disciples came to ask Jesus, "Who is considered to be the greatest in heaven's kingdom realm?" Jesus called a little one to his side and said to them, "Learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in." See, kids and pets live in the present much more than we do, and they have little or no preconceived notions to distort things. So can we let go of our certainties about the past, who was good and evil and who ruined everything, for example? Those become resentments that bog down our present, as we see not the moment as it presents itself, but rather we see only the past, as the Course in Miracles tells us. Letting go of the past is tricky, because frankly, it seems to have happened in an objective way, like it's a fixed object. There it is. Now, it's true that the events may have happened objectively, although I can guarantee that the very framing of our past, only picking out certain events to keep in our film, makes the past subjective. And once we add our opinions, it really gets subjective. So we're not denying that anything happened, but letting go of our opinions and certainties about it all and allowing ourselves to be more present. Holding on to our version of the past keeps our energy stuck and not moving. Now, the future is really interesting. We spend a lot of time focused on it, and yet it doesn't exist. It's an idea. My dog, for example, never understood the whole concept. If you said, "Hey, let's go for a walk in an hour," guess what he heard? "Walk now! Woo!" When we're rushing, we are focused on the future, maybe worried about what it will mean to be late, what they will say. It's the same thing with worrying. If we're holding our happiness hostage, saying it will only happen if such and such occurs in the future, then we are not relishing, not savoring the present moment. Remember, a kid can play with the box the gift came in. A dog can chase its tail. We forget how amazing it is to exist because we're holding on to so much in our minds. Our energy flows when we're viscerally connected to the everyday joy of living. And I think that's one of the reasons I love the Sufi poets. They have a childlike wonder mixed with mature wisdom, so their messages land with delight. When we have this quality, it's easier to let go. Now, there's a place in Connecticut called the Guest House, where many of us have been on retreat. Maybe you didn't know this, but it's named after a famous poem by Rumi, another 13th century Sufi mystic. Now, if you're wondering what I mean by fully inhabiting the present and letting go of the rest, listen now to these words by Rumi. "This being human is a guest house, every day a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond." Can you feel the letting go in that? Welcoming everything with open arms rather than resistance. Because we don't know what things are for, what they'll lead to. Look at anything in your life that you love, and you're sure to find that the path that got you there had things that at the time you thought were disasters in them, right? And holding on to that sense of disaster may have delayed the good that you now love. Now, as life happens, we can feel whatever we feel, but we don't need to live there. In fact, when we simply feel our emotions rather than repressing or indulging them, they pass like clouds, as David Ault reminded us. And finally, one of the big places we get stuck is how we relate to ourselves. We can get caught in negative thoughts and resist the reality of our inherent goodness. And so the energy doesn't move freely, and we can get depressed or down or heavy. So here's a practical exercise to close out this talk. Did you ever see a picture of yourself from a long time ago and say to yourself, how adorable, what was I worried about? Well, can you look at yourself now at this age the way you will when you're 20 years older? Why wait 20 years? I was adorable. Skip to the good part and see yourself that way now, the way God sees you. If it helps, imagine yourself at 90 or 100 or looking at yourself from heaven. Let go of your self-judgments and enjoy who you are now. That will free up energy. It drains us to always find fault with ourselves, and then we project that out to others. So enjoying yourself as you are now will make you better able to enjoy others too, and to enjoy life. Life is good because God is good all the time. It may not feel like it, but that feeling is not a fact, it's a story. Let's meet life with open arms, meet God ready to dance. In short, let's let go and let the good grow. Thank you. Let's practice letting go. Practice allowing the movement of life itself. Take a deep, conscious breath in. Let it out. This is the breath of life, the movement of life happening in you and in me, even when we're not thinking about it. So now we appreciate this movement, this life force. Feel it in your body, the easy movement of life. Appreciate the fact of it, the feel of it. As you continue to be aware of your breath, just step away from any thoughts or concerns about the day. Now focus on higher vibrations, as if floating through the clouds, leaving any thoughts or concerns behind. They will be available later if you need them. For now, allow this free feeling of letting go. Feel the tingling sensation in your hands. Focus on that. There's a movement here. Circulation in your body, a vibrating, pulsing force moving like a stream keeps moving gently, continuously, peacefully. Feel and appreciate the movement behind the stillness. Be still and know the very nature of your being as goodness, the child of God you are. Be still and know the very nature of your being as goodness, the child of God you are. Feel the vibrating energy field in your feet. Wiggle your toes and feel the love that is there. The loving energy of life fills your body. Feel it in your legs, your abdomen, your arms. Free and easy like floating, free of gravity. And know this for yourself. Kindness is my truth today. Love is my truth today. My highest good is here. Now.
Surrender to my greatest, highest good. I will release any fear that blocks my way. For every step I take is taken in pure faith, and I am stronger every moment. Every day, my mind is willing and my heart is open wide. I trust my instincts and let spirit be my guide. I vow to live a life that's real and pure and free. As I continue walking in this mystery, I will surrender to my greatest, highest good. I will release any fear that blocks my way. For every step I take is taken in pure faith, and I am grateful every moment, every day. There may be walls, there may be roadblocks in my way, but I can choose to take a higher path each day. And now I know that what I thought was safe and sound was only habit and regret that held me down. I will surrender to my greatest, highest good. I will release any fear that blocks my way. For every step I take is taken in pure faith, and I am kinder every moment, every day, and I'm more loving every moment. Every day I will surrender every moment.